Welcome to the Wide for the Win podcast. Our goal at Wide for the Win is to help authors grow publishing success across multiple platforms and formats through education, training, support, and community. If you're interested in reaching readers around the world, diversifying your income as an author, and exploring the freedom of living a truly indie author life, you've come to the right place.
Hello, fellow Wildlings, and welcome to this week's live stream. We have with us a special guest, Kim Sakwa. Or how do you pronounce that?
Sakwa.
I forgot to ask.
Sakwa.
Okay. Sakwa. Okay. And today's topic is author success stories or success strategies, I should say. And we invited Kim on here because she is a what I call slow and steady publisher. So she's not one of the authors who has made bank or found her success by publishing multiple books a year, or even, you know, like a book a month club. So I'm really excited to talk with Kim today because that's kind of also my success story. And my strategy is publishing slower and making sure that I don't burn out, because I did. As anybody who's ever watched the wide stream knows very well my story. So, and we also have Deanna with us today. Thanks, Deanna.
Woo. Hi.
You're pretty excited about this one too, aren't you?
I am. So, as a discovery writer who has tried and failed miserably at plotting, I write when the movie plays in my head. And I am glacier slow when it comes to releasing things.
Glacier slow. All right. So Kim, tell us a little bit about yourself, what genre you write. And because this is, you know, the slow and steady, how many books do you put out per year out of curiosity on average?
So right now, actually, I just released my first book in 2 years.
Wow.
Before that, it was two books a year. My first book was published mid-2019, my next 20, and then 2020, 2021, and 20, I have six out right now, and six English titles, and some translations.
Nice. Yes. I know you're mentioning.
I write time travel, historical, a little bit contemporary, series.
Okay, so not only do you write slower, that we're saying slower because even, you know, two books a year is still faster than a lot of trad pubs do, but slower for the indie community. I hate saying slow like it's a bad thing. It's actually kind of a good thing for a lot of us. And you also don't write necessarily one of the huge categories, you know, like contemporary romance or mystery thriller. So I mean, you've got something going on here that I'm sure our watchers and listeners will want to know about. So what does your writing process look like? So how much time do you think you spend, you know, like, are you a plotter, pantser, somewhere in between?
So my process starts with getting my entire house in order, that's already in order, fixing any relationship issues from the past that might have cropped up, like hitting a major therapeutic, like, breakthrough, like, cooking for the winter. So many things happen to get me ready for writing. But as Deanna said, I have this movie in my head. I have so many people living in my head, and they drive me. So when it comes to writing, I know where my story is ultimately going, but how they get there can change. And in fact, I get stuck and hit a wall when what I think is supposed to happen on paper doesn't.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'll stop. Well, actually, it's not even that I stop. I can't continue to go because they don't move. Yeah. I can't push forward. And I think what I've learned since I started, and, you know, I actually wrote my first book years ago. I always wanted to write. I knew this is what I was supposed to do. Won't get into what happened or why, it's crazy, but wrote my book in 2003 or 2004, and actually had an agent call me that wanted to work with me. Didn't happen at the time. And by the time I was ready to embrace writing again, you know, my kids were a little older. I didn't even think I could write. Like, I didn't even, you know, I like, I doubted everything about life and myself. So it was like kind of this whole, I actually gave my manuscript that this agent had called me on to New York book editors, I think it was Jane Friedman at the time. This was in 2016, I think. It's crazy how everything comes full circle. I think she was just starting to Zoom one-on-one with indie authors. And we had this one-on-one. She's like, you know what? If you're doubtful, send it to this company and blah, blah, blah. So I just want to give you a little background just to like, so you can like see where I'm coming from and why and how things have changed so much since I started in 2019. So I get this call, whatever. I go through the whole process and he's like, okay, hello. Yes. Like you can write. Like, I don't know. Like who, why you think you can't just like move on. So I published my first book, The Prophecy, in 2019. Mm-hmm. And I used Readsy at the time to find some people to help me. And it's amazing because Readsy back in 2019 was so small. Like, I don't know.
They were just a baby back then. It was so cute.
It was. And now if I go on, it's like, oh my gosh, look at all of these people. Like I'm just, it's amazing. So it's just amazing how much of that has changed too. So I had this really like tight knit team that I loved, and it was nurturing, and I was able to get The Prophecy out. And then I started my second book. And both of these books I had originally written years ago. Mm-hmm. So like we're talking like 12, 15 years later, I rewrote, not that I really needed to rewrite, but it was just, you know what? Like my voice had changed. I had evolved. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you evolve a little in 10 years. So I went through everything. I put that one out there in 2020, and I was wide when I began. Mm-hmm. And then I was, you know, you're in Facebook groups, and I ended up in KU. I ended up pulling my books out of wide, and I went into KU for, I think I was there for 2.5 years, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I, as much as I loved the being, you know, it was great revenue. Mm. But there was something that I wasn't happy with, like internally. And I was trying to, I don't know. I was going against this algorithm, and I felt all this pressure, and it sucked the creativity out of me.
I suspect a lot of our fellow wildlings can relate to that. I think we've all had that feeling. I've definitely had that feeling, and I've only experimented with the KU with a couple books here and there, and it was just like, can't do it.
I'm glad that I don't have to ask myself that question ever again. I'm a hard learner. I learn everything the hard way. Like, so I'm glad that I did that, so I don't have to ask myself that question. You know, even in the transition, like, I don't care what it's like, because I know that doesn't work for me. I don't want to compete with anybody else. I want everybody to thrive and be happy. And I want everybody to be successful, whatever that means to you. Yeah. I was incapable of being successful, and I'm not counting dollar signs, because I did well in KU with a very small catalog. And
Which is impressive, by the way. That's impressive, by the way, because a lot of the, you know, the people I've talked to that do well in KU have a lot of books out, and they release quickly. So I think that says actually a lot to the whole fact that, yes, you can write.
I still have my German translations in KU because I have not had time. I need covers for them to switch. And I know I've gotten totally off track. Susie, I probably didn't even answer your question. So
you're still the ridiculous about yourself part. So
okay,
we're good. We're golden.
Tell me, like, just like say, okay, wait, and veer me back in the right direction.
Yeah. So now you did mention success monetary, because everybody's going to want to know this. Mm-hmm. So they know, like, okay, well, should I listen to this person? So as you before, right. example, sharing a ballpark figure, annually, you said you came back about mid five figures on average. Yes. Yes. Obviously, as we all know, there's a lot of up and downs in that. Mm-hmm. And you said, you also mentioned briefly that you did take a bit of a hit when you transitioned out of KU or back to Wide. And you don't have to say what, because I know a lot of people aren't comfortable talking. If you do, great. If not, right. How? You know,
it's funny because even though I took a hit with my English titles, my translations kept me afloat.
Nice.
And I really didn't notice. And I did consultations with Aaron, and this is so crazy. I just have to say, in 2022, right before I released the last novel, which was my third in mm-hmm. one of my series, I went to RAM. I was invited to RAM. Mm-hmm. So, and they were talking about, like, first it was amazing, but it was incredible that I was there because it was all about, okay, you have a product, monetize it. If you can, if you're in a position, monetize it in every way you can. And it just so happened that after that was published, that book, and after that trip, I knew I was going to have, I had some major family things going on, major. So I thought, this is a good time for me to get into translations because I don't know that I'm going to, and again, going back to Facebook groups, reading things, I went down many rabbit holes that I probably shouldn't have gone down. But one was, I knew I wasn't going to be able to write for 2 months. Like that's me, I'm somebody else that's saying this. So I did a translation. So I'm like, oh, I'm probably not going to be able to do what I normally do. I'm going to look for a translator. And that really made a huge difference for me. My German translations kept me at in the lower mid five figures. And Aaron, let me get back to Aaron now. So Aaron also working with her suggested Free First series, which like, I was like, oh my gosh, are you like for real? Like that goes against everything in my being, but I did it. I tried and I only did it once, I think for 2 months and it was great. It was great.
Yeah.
I will do it again.
I love that point that you brought up that like, hey, I know something's here. I'm not going to be able to write. How else can I monetize my backlist? And for a lot of indies, that can be something like if you only have eBooks, put out your print copies. Right. If you don't have audio yet, get your audio going. Mm-hmm. Translations, if you have the money to do it, you know, translations and audio, of course, cost more money. You do have to have that upfront to pay your, unless you can do a 50-50 split, which that's a little leery on a lot of things. I have that for my two audiobooks. Would prefer not to do that again. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I love that you bring up that point about, hey, if I'm not going to be able to write, what else can I do? I love that you were adaptive like that, or adaptable. Yeah.
I think I just, the things that I needed to hear.
Yeah.
I listened to and did. And the things that I shouldn't have listened to, I did too. And that's okay. Because like I said, I learned the hard way. And now I know what works and doesn't work for me.
That's just knowing that is huge. You know,
it is.
It's like me finding out the hard way that I can't write five books a year. Even I tried that 1 year and that's why I burned out.
I told my readers, my new schedule is probably going to be one book a year because I thrive when I can spend time with my story. Like that's where it comes to life. I'm not a plotter, like I said, even though I know the story. And that's my process. That's what I like. And that's my business model.
Yeah.
Like, why am I veering away from that? Because somebody else says I need to do it this way.
Mm-hmm. That's
an excellent
Everybody bookmark point. That comment.
That's an excellent point, especially if you're not yet published and you're considering wading into indie publishing. You're going to get bombarded with a lot of advice as you go along and you almost have to treat it like a buffet table, right? You need to take what, or separate the wheat from the chaff, whatever analogy you want to use. But yeah, it's just because something worked for that author over there doesn't mean that it's going to work for me. The way my brain is wired may be completely different from that person. you know, you've above and beyond the whole writing process, you know, you've got marketing. Some people are really good at and feel comfortable doing cost per click ads. A lot of us don't, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, there is no one right way to make this work for you. So I'm glad you said that.
Yeah. By the way, I love a buffet and I tried everything. Let me tell you, like to the point where I was sick. So, but again, and it brought me back to what I need to be, but I needed to experience that to know. I always, and I say this to my kids, and I've said, like, sometimes I need to do the wrong thing to know what is right. I'm not saying like, go do that with everything, but sometimes I don't know what to do, but once I make the wrong decision, I know that was wrong and I will pivot and turn around and
I love this. I'm so glad we've had you on. I mean, there's already so many nuggets of wisdom in here that I want people to hear. And I can just hear Becca Syme with the Better Faster Academy just going like, yes, yes, yes. Like,
she helped me so much, not personally, but listening to her.
Yeah, me
too. She was talking about the types of writers and the first three she said, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm none of those. And I, by the way, I have this whole thing in my head about
Evergreen.
People talk about in, no, they talk about like imposter syndrome, which I never bought into, which please don't hate me for saying that. But I'm like, why does somebody like, don't feed into a label ever about anything. You don't have to own that. You might think about it because that's not me. I never sat down and wrote every day. And for somebody to tell me I am not a writer or a crafter of stories because I don't do that. Like, I'm sorry, that's not me. And you can't make me believe that. So, but she, and then I'm like, oh my gosh, was I wrong? Cause I can be wrong. Let me tell you. But, and then she talked about this fourth type of writer. And I was like, thank you, because that was me.
I'm just going to guess Evergreen.
What's that?
I'm going to guess, was it Evergreen, right?
No, she was talking about like this Phoenix writer that like, you know, and then boom. And then, cause it's, and it could be a combination of things, but it was just, I was like literally like dying thinking like, well, who am I? Like, and then later she like brought it up. So it was like, you're hanging. Anyways, it was funny at the time. Yeah.
It is. Oh, I love Becca's stuff, but anyhow. Okay. So, what do you do? And this is a question I asked you before. And I really want to hear the answer to is what do you do since you don't release a book, you know, like every 30 days to make the algorithms happy? What do you do to keep your fans engaged in between releases?
So I have a Facebook page, which I'm sure most people do, and Instagram. And of course, I'll deviate here too because nobody engages with me on Instagram and I get business emails all the time. I can help you. I'm like, my dog could help me. Okay. Seriously. So I engage on Facebook. You know, I have like great readers and fans. They're amazing. And people contact me through my website and like I email them back. I love them. I have forged so many great relationships, you know, especially when I'm writing a book and my email pops up and I'm like, oh, let me talk to you for a little bit. That's part of my writing process too.
there's something to be said about those connections and living life and that feeding your story. I'm like, you can't, at least I can't anyhow. And I think a lot, and I think you're probably pretty similar. You can't just sit at the keyboard all day long, every day, and just output, you know, you got to have some kind of, at least I'm a number one input. So this totally rings true for me is I have to actually get out there and read books and meet people and spend time in nature. And just like, I have to, as Becca said, I have to input to output. Mm-hmm. And when I don't input, the output stops. And it's just like, and you mentioned earlier about, you know, like if something's not working in the story, you completely just hit a wall and you have to stop. Yeah, totally me. My intuition goes, there's something wrong here. Of course, it's not kind enough to tell me what's wrong. And then I got to let simmer and go out and do the other stuff. And you're like, check emails and all that stuff. So that is, I think that's flipping hilarious.
Usually for me, it's a tone too. It's just a tone I've taken. And it's just like but no, that's not them because I'm not going forward. So I need to figure out where I veered wrong.
Yeah.
So
I'm just curious to hear Kim's answer on this one. How many times, because you are, it sounds like you're a discovery writer like I am. How many times you've been going along, it's flowing, the vibe is good, the tone's awesome, the dialogue is spectacular, and then if something pops in and you're like, whoa, didn't see that coming.
Oh, every book that I write, but this last one, I had planned and I had so much pressure, and a lot of it was like self-induced. And this book, I figured by the time I got to like chapter 25, I'm like, okay, this big thing happened. I'm going to wrap this puppy up. And this is the fourth book in a series. And they're all, by the way, both of my series, I crossed over in book three of this one that I just released in, which I didn't see any of this coming. That was a huge one. People were like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened. But in book four, what I thought was going to be a quick, like, you know, wrap up and, you know, off into the sunset. Mm-hmm. 100 manuscript pages later. Because things started to happen that I was like, I never saw coming. And mm-hmm. I was blown away.
That's the reason I have two pen names. I wrote a book and then I wrote another book. And along mm-hmm. about the third book, I had a supplemental character that I felt really sorry for because she was done dirty. And I was like, well, I'm just going to write her own happy ever after. It's like, where did that come from? It's a crime thriller series. But now I've got romance stuff out too. And I'm like, okay, you know,
I love that. You know, listen, if it manifests and it's, you know, something that is compelling and drives you, like if it feeds my soul, I am all in.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, that is great. I love this conversation. I'm starting to, the further I get in my career, the more I'm realizing that romance, I can plot it and outline it. 95% of the time I'm going to change it. Like I have the last book that I released. I had no intention of my hero getting shot. That was totally, if you look at my outline from the book, there nowhere in there does he get shot. He gets shot in the book. And I'm like, well, didn't see that coming. So speaking of not seeing coming, but like fantasy, I can't actually outline. Fantasy. I need to do like 3 or 4, maybe even up to 7 chapters ahead of where I'm at, or 7 scenes, I should say. But anything beyond that, it's just going to change. Because as I go along and the movie starts playing in my head and the characters start doing what they're going to do and connections start weaving through, I'm like, okay, scratch that. That's not going to work. Okay. Another path. Let's go. I have a question for you. So if you're not using the publish faster, your rapid release type strategy, what do you think are the must-haves or the must-dos for those of us who write slower and publish slower? What do you think you need for your book to be successful if you're not able to tap into those, you know, 30 and 90 day algorithm happy places?
So for me, I think my books are successful is because I do everything I can to make them beautiful on the inside and out. I have a great developmental editor who we actually, it's so funny, the people that my team has young children. So it's like we work around schedules and nap schedules. And, I mean, my kids are older. I have, you know, they're in their late 20s. Mm-hmm. But I so get like, oh my God, family is like the most important thing. Take care of your family. You know, so my developmental editor and I, like, I'll send her like the first chunk of a book. Mm-hmm. Because if I send you a whole book and you say like, oh, wait a second, like, I don't want to rewrite an entire book. Mm-hmm. And she's been with me through all of these characters and there's so much in my head I can't keep straight. Like, you should see when I'm writing my next book, I have all my books out and I need to have this done so I don't have to keep doing this. I'm like, wait, I knew what did he do back then? And because this was important.
So your books might look like your own copies might look on this, like where you have, and I don't know if this is going to show up on screen or not, but I actually have like certain pages outlined on the outside so that when it's closed, I can see them.
Right. Love that.
So that I can read the exact passages I need for reference. And then I also have, people keep asking, well, do you have any copies on hand that I can have? I'm like, sorry, no, they all have notes in them.
Right. I mean, you should, like, I'll have like 5 books open because it's like, and then I have to be correct with the years and how much time passed, because even though the publishing, you know, in between is, you know, was longer, And now hopefully I'll be back on track. I knew this was going to be like a dry 2 years as far as putting out my English titles. And I think I told you, I'm sitting on 8 translations that I need to get covers for and get out there. But I didn't want anything diverting me besides the long list I gave you at the beginning from finishing this last book.
Yeah, no kidding.
I spend, I'd say editing, copy editing, proofing. I like to make it as perfect as possible. My covers, and engaging with everybody.
So is that your secret sauce is quality and engagement.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I would rather be, small and put out, really stand behind what I love. And I hate being rushed. And even though I put out 2 books a year for, again, only 2 years. I had an email from a reader just before this book was released. And she said, I hope you're okay. All of my other authors have put out tons of books. And I was thank gosh, I didn't email her back, because I was like, wait a second. I've put out 6 books in 5 years. I'm sorry. What do you want from me? But I had to think oh my God, did I not do anything? I'm like, wait, in 2020 and 2021, I put out 2 books a year, which for me, I never even thought I would do that.
Yeah.
But even during those times, I had a production schedule. I was working with somebody who was formatting my books. Mm-hmm. Again, learn the hard way. Now I have vellum. I format my own books because I can correct something. I can change my back matter. And I had other people doing things that I spent the entire summer of 2023 putting my own house in order business-wise under my own system, which is pasted on the wall in front of my desk. My metadata, my calendars on the wall, which are post-its. But it works for me. It's my analog system and I love it.
I like analog. Analog is good. And for my cover designs, I actually now have a binder and everything in there is handwritten and it works so much better than anything digital for me. So I'm like, it goes back to do what works best for you.
Right.
And even Kristen in the comments up here, she says, yes, finding what works for me in this season and leaning into what has been my intent. I'm going to pop this up here real quick here. Finding what works for me in this season and leaning into that has been my intention for a sustainable author career. I think there's enough of us that have been around long enough that we've seen so many of our friends burn out and even quit the business that we're starting to go hold on, wait. This is not working. This is not sustainable. Let's see what I can do that is sustainable. And it's I started in 2012, published my first book. My sales took off in 2014. I was full-time pretty much from 2014 until about 2 years ago. I'm still making and I'm where you were, haven't done hardly any marketing because my books are getting kind of stale on a lot of the, paid newsletter promos, but I still keep in contact with my readers. And like you said, if you didn't put out a book for 2 years and your readers are like, are you okay? I finally did have to tell my readers, hey guys, I'm probably going to be gone for a while because I just need to step away, completely and totally step away. But for a while in there, if I didn't release my news or send out my weekly newsletter, my readers were emailing going, are you okay? We didn't get your newsletter. And I'm like, oh, you guys are so awesome. So I would think, I agree with you that the connection part's a big deal, plus the quality. I would rather write slower, immerse myself in the story, enjoy the writing process instead of trying to feel and yes, our books are products. Mm-hmm. That is the bottom line. But I think if you don't enjoy the process, why bother? Because this is not an easy business. Why break yourself? If do it because you love to do it. And if you can write fast, and I know a couple of authors that they can do a book a month and that's just how they write and how they function. And that's what they love. That's not me. That's not you. Not Deanna. I can think of more authors that does not or that do not fall into that category. Any last bits of wisdom here? Because we're coming up on half an hour, trying to keep these shorter this year. Any last bits of wisdom for those of us who are looking at all these authors who are publishing a book every month or every other month or even four books a year, what would you be your piece of advice for them?
Again, I would go back to why did you, for me, it came down to what I wanted to do in the first place was provide an escape for my readers, which is what my favorite authors always did for me.
Yes.
You know, that was like my mission statement. This is what I like. I just want you to be able to escape into this world that I'm creating. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it wasn't working. So it's like, and so I really had to come back to what do I want to do? Why did I get into this? And why am I listening to all these other people? Mm-hmm. What works for me? What is my tone? What do I want to do? Because nobody should be telling me what I'm supposed to do or what I have to do. Or, I mean, I should look at those things because if I get defensive about something, I might need to look at that a little bit, but I don't have to own it. I can say like, okay, like that was a little uncomfortable, but that's not me. I don't know. Just like be true to yourself.
Yeah.
Find your happiness. And if you're not happy, like I've been unhappy, like you have to be, I can't create a great love story if I'm miserable. Although, I mean, I guess I have escaped into my own books too. So that's not true. Never mind.
It's a lot more difficult for sure.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And if you're not authentic, your readers are going to be able to tell. It's going to reflect in the story that you've put out for them to read. So
it really does. Like I can tell you, there's two of my books that I forced and my readers hold in on those two books and they're the lowest rated books. They're like, well, I like it, but it just doesn't seem like you. And I'm like, busted.
And so, you know, when you're in your, like, I was so in my happy place finishing this book. It was, and there's nothing better than that.
Yeah.
Like if you're not finding your joy, like you need to look for it.
Yeah. I love that. That is a great note to end on. Kim, and Deanna, thank you guys so much. This has been a really fun chat. We may have to have you back on to go more in depth in this because I could talk about this one all day long. So, all right. Wildlings, if you have any questions for Kim, you can find her on what's your website?
AuthorKimSakwa.com.
AuthorKimSakwa.com. So yeah, go ahead, go check her out. Send her a shooter or shoot her an email if you have any questions. She already gave me the okay to shout that out. All right, everybody, have a wonderful, wonderful afternoon or evening or morning or whatever time of the day it is, wherever you're at. And join us next week. I believe we're doing a live Q&A for just basic wide topics. So if you're just going wide, be sure to join us live so you can ask your questions of everybody. Have a great one, folks.
You've been listening to the Wide for the Win podcast. For links to our Facebook and Circle groups and other helpful Wide publishing resources, go to wideforthewin.com. The music for this podcast, Sax and Rock and Roll, is written and performed by Kevin McLeod and was licensed at incompetech.com.